Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 55, the October the 26th edition of the Patient Player Podcast. My name is Daniel. I'll be your host today, joined by my marvelous co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
Hello, everybody. Hello. I hope you all have taken a time off from voting in this presidential election time to come join us in the Patient Player. Maybe you're standing in line to vote right now and you're listening to us. And with that, we say thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for voting. Judah 2020, my good friend Judah, he's running for American presidency or Canadian. He said either one. It doesn't actually matter. So if you see on the ballot, just check him. If you are doing the Canadian ballot,
just write him in. Just write him in.
Exactly.
They'll know who you're talking about.
They can't say no if everyone does it, okay? Like, come on.
That's how elections work.
That is absolutely how elections work. So just, you know, write him on there.
So I have already voted. We've gotten that out of the way. So if you're listening to this, this podcast actually comes out the day before election. No, a week before election day. Next podcast you'll be listening to in line on election day. So good luck to you, people. This is a podcast about video games, though, not about elections. We talk here about gaming and soul lane.
Oh, man, I could not do a political podcast. I could if I was supposed to be the dumb one who doesn't know what's going on and people, like, explain things to me.
Okay.
I could do that. But okay. Talk about political topics in a podcast? Ugh.
Is that because you don't have thoughts on it or because you don't like conflict?
Because I don't do the research. I have thoughts, but who cares what random stuff I can throw out? I want to have like educated thoughts to do a political podcast.
Like, I feel like you don't understand American politics at all, if that's your opinion. I feel like you don't understand American politics or social media whatsoever if you feel like you need to be educated before you throw your opinion out there for everyone to consume.
Oh, no. Maybe it's because
I see opinions about your opinions.
I see everyone doing that, and I'm trying not to be like the problem.
Agreed.
Oh,
agreed.
Wow.
What we do have plenty of opinions on that we will share with you is on video games and about gaming in the slow lane, where we're going to be playing through games that we want to on our own pace. We're going to be picking up lots of good deals on some older games. We're going to be playing a lot of freebie games and enjoying updates that happen to games that we already love and enjoy without the need to go out and buy new stuff. When we do get new stuff, of course, we will talk through that. But in general, we like to play a little bit patiently. And towards the end of the podcast, after we've gone over what we've played and what deals we found for the week, we will answer your questions live on this podcast recording. This is a live podcast recording. If you ever want to join us for these live recordings, you can head over to patientplayers.com/social, and you'll find all the tools you need there, all the various social media accounts, Discord accounts, things like that, to be notified when we go live. You can ask us questions on the Discord. You can email us questions at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, and we will come back around all of that later on in the podcast. For now, though, how's your week going, Jordan?
It's doing.
Mm-hmm. Your week is going doing?
Yeah, it's doing, yeah. I'm not doing. It's doing.
It's doing. What is it doing to you?
Weak.
Oh, mm-hmm. You are now weak because of this week?
No, I'm not weak, but it's doing weak. Dude, Halloween
nice
is on
know.
Saturday, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow, that came up
the
really
big
fast.
Spooky.
The official spoop. The spoop epitome, if you will.
We will more than likely, so I will be occupied Saturday afternoon all the way through that weekend. So we'll more than likely, if we're going to be doing our Halloween episode, we'll need to do it early on Halloween. So make sure to keep an eye out on the social media and see about joining us next weekend for the spoopiest of episodes of the year. The massive spoops happening.
Spoop epitome.
Spoop epitome? Epitome of spoop?
Spoop epitome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Inventing new words here. So what has actually been going? What have you been doing?
Not very many video games, I can tell you that much.
Have you been going to see Big Tex again? Have you been like,
oh my word,
building a Halloween costume?
Did you mention that because it was this time last year that
that was just the first thing that came to my mind about something that we spent forever talking about on the podcast that you had like spent time on.
That's hilarious. That was actually, I think it was this week last year that I went and saw Big Texas Big Booty.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've had Big Tex on the mind.
With Big Tex's butt. Do they just leave him up all year round?
You would know better than I do. I don't even know where he is.
Oh. I can Google it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, no games, no anything else? Just chilling at home every day, all day?
Oh, you know, just adult life.
Okay.
Big Tex has a Wikipedia page. That's kind
of
weird. Well,
of course he does. He's more famous than either one of us.
Oh, remember the day he caught on fire? I was actually so happy that day.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
They have a photo of it. People, like, idolized this big, ugly-looking cowboy statue at the state fair.
And so it's like when Notre Dame caught on fire?
Well, I wouldn't say I was happy at that.
There's like, you know, a lot of that, rich that's culture like, and history being burned up.
That's like just... That's justified appreciation of the art, you know? Notre Dame. This is just people... I don't know. I don't know what about it. It just bugged me.
You're saying Big Tex is not appreciated as art and cultured?
No, he's,
in your opinion?
I'm saying he's overhyped. Especially for how heckin' ugly he is. Wow.
How can you bring Big Tex down to size when his name is Big Tex?
Down to size? He's a little Tex in my heart.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. This photo of him burning is just hilarious. File bigtexfire.2, retouched.jpg.
Okay.
This was October 2012. This was 8 years ago.
Oh, I thought it was like a recent, like since you'd last seen Big Tex. So Big Tex has been restored to his Tex glory.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Big Tex has been fine for the past 8 years. Working under secrecy, a new Big Tex was created during 2013 at a cost of $500,000.
So it's not even the same Big Tex. It's a new Big Tex?
It's Big Tex 2.
He's been replaced. So, wait. That means that out there somewhere is a smoldered, burnt shell of Big Tex 1. Oh, man. How much I would give to just have
you
that.
You think someone kept it? You think they auctioned it? They should have auctioned. They honestly should have auctioned it or something.
I really hope they did. Can you imagine what you could do, especially around Halloween, with like a half melted Big Tex? He could be your mascot for so many horrific events.
Oh, they actually made the new one bigger. The height was increased by a yard.
So he's bigger Tex.
Mm-hmm. I like that. There's Big Tex and bigger Tex.
I can't wait for biggest Tex.
Oh no. Maybe when the next one, when this one burns down, they'll be like, I think we're going the wrong direction, and it'll be smaller Tex.
But it'll also be like lots of them.
By a yard from the original.
There'll be like 10 small Texes.
And then Apple will get their hands on it, and you'll have the Big Tex Max, the Big Tex Pro Max, the Big Tex S, Max Pro Air.
What would change about Big Tex if he was owned by the Apple Corporation?
That's a great question. What a weird... We're not even in the questions and answers, and you're already breaking out the really, really deep philosophical questions.
I mean, I can email it to you if you want
if
to
Apple
answer it that way.
If owned Big Tex, what would be different? Somehow it would be expensive for some unnecessary proprietary reason.
I feel like you would still just have the one physical Big Tex, but you could pay like $70 to get a digital copy of Big Tex.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just like personalized to you, and you could change colors of Big Tex.
That sounds more like if EA owned Big Tex. Or maybe Activision.
I mean, is Apple not just the EA of computer hardware?
Ooh.
Derivative updates every single year.
But they make good products, though. They're just overpriced. Does EA make good products?
Some people really like EA. Sometimes, not
always.
Sometimes.
I can agree with that. Sometimes they do. Hey, speaking of video games...
Speaking of video games and EA, I don't think anything I have to talk about today has anything to do with EA, does it?
Nope. Same here.
Completely not.
Squadrons is still good. Oh, you know what? I did play some Squadrons this week, I think.
You played Star Wars Squadrons?
Yeah, I'm very slowly playing through it, like at a normal, I'm an adult pace, where like once a week I'll be like, oh yeah, that's a game I want to play, and I'll play a level, and I was like, that was fun, and then I haven't touched it since. I'll probably pick it up next week.
Has the like novelty of it worn off, or does it still feel like a fun game you want to regularly play? Or are you going to kind of play through it and then be done?
I'm scared of people being too good online at it.
That's why I don't play games online until I do, and then I have fun, and then I play it a whole bunch. But we had this exact same discussion about, like, man, it's so weird that you just are scared to jump into multiplayer. I'm like, I don't know what it is. And then I try out Spellbreak twice and never play it again.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, being killed in a fighter game doesn't sound like fun.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I'm sure they make it, like, I'm sure they don't make it feel too bad, or else they wouldn't get people to play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even also, doesn't that sweeten the deal?
AI fighters, I'm like, eh, I don't know what I could have done to prevent that.
Oh, I see what you mean there.
I don't understand what the counterplay is. I assume it's there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I may not just understand it. Maybe if I get a grasp of that, I'll want to play. I'll give online co-op a shot at some point.
Co-op or competitive?
Competitive, yeah.
Cool. So still doing Squadrons. What's been your go-to besides, because you said you played that like once this week. When you sit down to play something, what's been your go-to this week?
I haven't had a go-to this week. I don't think I've played any game more than once this week. Any one game. I played some Squadrons. I played some Overwatch. I had a session of Overwatch.
Did you get the sweet Stone Brigitte skin?
I did, and I love it. It's so good. Looking forward to next week's skin of the creepy doll.
The Echo Ragdoll, yeah.
Yes, so cool.
Man, it's such a bummer that, like, that first year of Overwatch, every event was so exciting, and, like, it ended with the Archive event, which was, like, the ultimate example of, like, man, this game is so cool, they could do so much with it. It was, like, it took all the fun of the PvE of Junkenstein's Revenge and then added, like, story and objectives to it, and it was so cool, and then they hit Junkenstein's Revenge 2.0, and you were like, oh, I guess they ran out of cool stuff. So let's just do a whole year of this over again. And I feel like Junkenstein's Revenge Part 3 was like the heartbreak moment for me. It was like, oh, they're not going to bring new stuff ever. It's just always going to be the same events with the same rules and just modified slightly.
Yeah.
And the Archives is like the once a year where you kind of get some new stuff.
That's true. They have been doing new Archive events every year, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, they didn't this year.
That's right.
This year was the first one. This year is when they added the modifiers.
Right.
That's a bummer.
So,
but to me, like in retrospect, I think it makes sense. I think through their first year, they realized that there's a huge interest in the PvE aspect of Overwatch. And I assume that's when they started focusing all of their development, because the game was done at that point, but most of the development on the sequel, which is rumored to come out in beta in February and release in April, I think. I think that's the current leaked rumor. So
did that get officially delayed? Because I thought when it was announced last year that it was supposed to be by the end of this year.
They did not give it a date. I think they were very adamant to not give it a date. The thing about it being announced at the last BlizzCon was like, we just want you guys to know that this is a thing that's coming and it's going to be super awesome. But they never said anywhere it's going to be soon.
So how likely is it you think that we're going to see Overwatch 1? Because Overwatch 1, you can still purchase and play. And they've talked about how everyone who owns Overwatch 1 will still gain the benefit of all the new heroes and all the new multiplayer modes for Overwatch 2. But essentially, it sounds like 2 is kind of just like an expansion pass with the story missions, right?
Yeah.
What do you think the odds of Overwatch going free to play are?
That's a good point. I've actually always thought that they'd eventually go to free to play, but with their sequel model, which is so confusing, like I honestly don't understand it at all. Like what you're going to be paying for when you buy Overwatch 2? Are people going to buy Overwatch 2? Is that just going to be the story missions that you buy? And then, you know, if you own the first one, you get all the free stuff. So, but in that case, is the next thing going to be Overwatch 3? Are they just going to keep doing
sequels? Yeah, I don't understand it either. I think Overwatch was probably one of the most successful games in the past, I don't know, 5 years. And business-wise, you got to capitalize on that with a sequel to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're essentially not making a sequel. They're making an expansion pass.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I could easily see them saying, you know what, everybody who wants to play Overwatch can play Overwatch. It's just, if you want this new expansion, you have to pay us money, which that sounds like, because didn't they, not only did they lower the price of the base game, but didn't they then further like have it on sale for like $10 at one point or $5 or something.
I don't know if it got that low. I think it's permanently $20 right now, right? That sounds right.
That does sound right, but I would have to look it up to confirm.
Yeah, that is so cheap. I can't see them putting it any lesser than that. I always keep an eye on it on Switch if it does reach low prices like that, but I've never seen it go below I think 30. But that is a newer port, so I'm sure they're still trying to make money off of that. But I don't know about the one on PC, the original.
All right, let's get it out of the way. Let's give the people what they want. They're here to open the patient player's vault, peer inside, and pull out the Pokemans. What is up with
Pokemans.
Pokemon? Give it to me straight. What's up with this DLC?
So I played for about like a half hour.
Oh, so you've beaten it already.
No, but yes. In a weird way, maybe it wasn't half hour. Maybe at max it was an hour. I'm gonna guess, if I'm gonna be realistic, let's say 40 minutes to an hour. It felt like half an hour though. But they kind of divided it, from what I've experienced so far, into three chunks. And it instead of, here's the expansion, here's like one legendary that's like new, exciting, they've kind of divided it into three chunks with three different sets of legendaries for each chunk.
Sets meaning what?
So you know how you have like the little the goat, the Zelda goat with the big crown? Like, have you seen that one? That's like,
No.
that was like teased as like the main new legendary you can get. It's like a little, it's a
Okay.
floaty little white
A
goat looking
Zelda
thing.
goat?
People call it Zelda goat because it has orbs around its neck that have the Triforce on it. But
What?
it's not, it's just three triangles, but people call it,
I'm looking this up here.
okay, you
Oh
just,
my goodness. Wait, are we talking about
it's got the
what is
massive head, like big
Yeah.
old blueberry head.
Oh my goodness. Calyrex?
Yes, that's been teased in
Calyrex?
every trailer for the expansion. Like, this is the end all be all for Crown Tundra. This is the man himself. I caught him already
Cool.
in my 40 minutes of playing. But the thing is about it is the game really is divided into three chunks, where it's like you're given three quests, if you will, so, like literally like paper quests. Like, this quest is to find out the mystery of this of the king of the lands, which is that guy. And then this quest is to check out the three mysterious birds at the tree. And then the last quest is, why are there, mysterious ruins? What's up with that? So I beat the first one. Like, I was like, okay, I kind of want to see how long this lasts till I can buy, or till I can catch the till I can buy. Hey, it looks like you're fighting the final legendary. You want to pay $1.99 to
Don't even.
insta catch him right now? Yeah, so I was like, I'll just stick with this until I get him. And I did. It was really fast. It was like a cute little bunch of little story missions to do, and I got them. And it's like, congratulations, boom, quest complete. And so I still have two more quests to do that deal with the new forms of the three of the birds.
I'm seeing these. These look pretty great. I gotta say, I kind of hate the new Moltres, but new Zapdos is awesome. New Articuno, I could kind of give or take. I don't really care about that one, but the
I
Moltres
don't
looks dumb.
remember what they even look like.
I'm also seeing a lot of pictures that put this weird goat thing next to or on top of like a horse.
Yes. So that was like the big surprise. That wasn't really teased anywhere. But the story essentially is, he's like, I want my horse back. Try not to spoil anything if anyone cares about that. He's like, I want my horse back. And so eventually you end up, when you catch him with his horse. He's like, I got my horse back. Yay, now fight me and prove your worth.
Wait, so it's one Pokemon that's two Pokemon?
Yeah, that seems to be, they love doing that. It for like the past, like, I don't know, not counting Sword and Shield, I think the past two games that they released, the end legendary could be fused with another one to create, like, Black and White, you had the
Reshiram and Zekrom.
yeah, and then Sun and Moon, you had that fusion. So he's kind of like the fusion of this generation, where you catch him with his horse, but you can unfuse him with his horse.
And then like he's fusing. He's just getting off the horse,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, so when you unfuse him, you have him and you have his horse. He does get a little cape when he's on the horse. So he does get a little bit of a appearance change.
That's a little nuts. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, did they also include a bunch more of the guys that they had left out of the main game? Because that was honestly something that was interesting to me.
They did, yeah. There's a lot now. I was going through my Pokemon bank, and I was like, oh, he's in here. Oh, he's in there. It was really cool. I texted you about this, because I was so upset. They didn't include, like, Darkrai, which is one favorites. Deoxys, another one of my favorites. Arceus? Not really one of my favorites, but he's like the lord of all Pokemon.
Too powerful.
They seem to have left out a lot of the event Pokemon, where it's like the ones where I'm like, I want this one in the game because they're special, and I got them specially. But no, they left them out, and they included other lame, dumb ones.
Am I seeing new Regis?
Yes. So that's the third quest. It's the whole Reggie Temple thing, like in Ruby and Sapphire again, except for, and again, I don't know anything about it because I haven't done it yet. Either there's a new form of them or entirely new ones altogether. Do you have information on that on your screen?
I saw some images that would seem to show Regis that are not the type of the three that exist. So I don't know if they got transformed or if they're new.
Okay, yeah. I think there's like a dragon one, right? Is that what you saw?
That I saw what looked like an electric one and then one that I couldn't tell. But now that you say it, it's probably dragon.
Okay, yeah. So that's cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I think there's two new ones. I think it's a dragon one and an electric one. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, man, the thing is like... The original RegiQuest, what made it so great was that it was completely mysterious. Like, you had no idea it was in the game. They don't call it out except for, like, two NPCs, I think. And then, like, all you do is you find that first cave that has all the Braille with, like, mysterious hints about, like, the three locations. And then, like, they have you do random stuff that kind of breaks the game, like, using fly indoors at a certain point and like doing all this weird stuff that didn't make sense. And the only reason you're doing it is because you're interpreting this Braille from the strange cave you had to dive into. And it was just so cool how they did all of that. And then like with Diamond and Pearl, it was like a little reward for bringing in all three from the previous games. You got access to Regigigas. And that was so cool. I feel like by making it like a quest that's called out by the NPCs in the game, it's like very explicitly part of the game. It kind of like ruins the mysterious motif of the Regis.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that you still have to do puzzles to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing this generation of games, I don't know how much of it is going to be someone walking up and being like, huh, I wonder what if we did this. Or like you can talk to someone and they'll just straight out tell you what to do.
Explicitly saying like...
Exactly.
Oh, did you know that water puts out fires? If only we had water nearby. Like, okay, with the original Regis, to even access the room that had the puzzles, do you remember how you had to do that?
You had to catch not a coelacanth. That's what the real fish is called that it's based off of.
A relicanth.
Relicanth.
Yeah.
You had to catch a relicanth.
A Wailord. You had to catch a Relicanth and a Wailord, and you had to have one in the first spot of your party and one in the sixth slot of your party. And the only reason you knew that, and they didn't even tell you it was those two Pokemon. There wasn't any cutscene where the Pokemon like came by and then it zoomed in on it and your stupid rival was like, oh, look, a Relicanth. I bet we should catch it for this puzzle. And then it like ran off and you had to go find it with a minigame. Yeah. No, it was like... Mm-hmm. Some cryptic dialogue about like the oldest Pokemon and the biggest Pokemon. And it was like, well, I think it's these two, right? And so then you have to check like Pokedex entries and compare like what it says. And then you put those in there. And it was just awesome. It was an awesome feeling getting those. And it was cool because like the internet wasn't as prevalent, or at least not for me when I was a kid playing Sapphire. But like, I didn't know about those playing the game, and that was cool. That wasn't like a bad thing that the game didn't explicitly tell me about it, because when I found out, it blew my mind, and then I like went and did it, and I was like, I can't believe this is actually in the game. This is amazing.
Yeah. So I doubt it's going to be like that, but I don't know what it's going to be like. I will probably play that sometime this week, because that is something I enjoyed in my short time that I did play it.
Sweet.
I was having a lot of fun. Compared to the first expansion, this expansion feels a lot more fleshed out in terms of being in a wild area. You know, the whole map being a wild area, quote unquote.
Yeah, because you said, remind me, the last one, it was like there's a lot of space with not a lot to do, right? Yeah,
exactly. It felt so empty. And so far in this one, maybe it's just the fact that they added more trees. I don't know what it is. It just, it doesn't feel as empty as the first one did.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's not just a flat area.
Exactly. That's nice. It's like the map is well designed, I think, might be just the main difference.
Cool. So if you don't purchase the DLC, are you still allowed to bring in the new Pokemon that they've developed? You just can't go to the new areas?
Right, yeah. So oh, the update really? That's still cool. Yeah, if you don't buy it, the update still adds in those Pokemon to the base game.
I am shocked that it worked that way. I was almost 100% convinced that I would have had to buy the DLC to get all these updates.
I don't know if they had room to be greedy with the enormous amount of backlash they got for cutting them out of the base game in the first place, to be like, oh, you have to pay for them now.
Yeah, you're basically holding them hostage for the purpose of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remind me, is it like Zelda where you can't buy just one of the DLCs, you have to buy both?
I think you can buy one. I think one is $15 or both.
Okay, so it's not like you get the expansion pass where you have both, like with Zelda.
Yeah,
okay.
They're two very separate expansion passes that you go to from like a train station.
Right. Like, I want to go to the new area. Please take me
exactly.
There.
Yeah, it's like, do you, this area or this area?
Do you have to take the train every time, or can you fly once you've been there once?
Once you've been there, you can fly. Thankfully,
good.
Which is
good.
Seems like a stank turd they would have left in there, but
right. It's like at this point, you can't make any guesses with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like every possible way to inconvenience you, you have to clarify if they've messed it
exactly.
up somehow.
Exactly. I was so pleasantly surprised to see I could just fly places. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it should be implied at this point, but thank you, Nintendo. That was very kind of you, or Game Freak.
All right, well, I guess we could give Pokemon some space to breathe outside the vault this week, because you said you're going to play some more. So next week, we will have presumably final thoughts about Crown Tundra, as I can't imagine it's going to be too much of a hassle to get through the rest of the content.
Yeah, sounds about right.
All right. And has there been anything else on your plate this week? You said Star Wars and Pokemon?
I had some friends over, and we played some good old Smash Bros.
Did you Steve? Have you Steved?
I have Steved. Steve is
the Steve
wonderful.
Has occurred. What's he like?
Did I? Oh, we didn't talk about this last week, did we? I was like, this is
old
news.
I don't think it was out. Yeah, it wasn't out until last Tuesday, was it?
No, he was. We were going to talk about it, but we ran out of time to talk
That's
about
right.
it.
That's right. Right. Okay, so Steve is old news at this point, but for you, how is Steve?
I don't have any fresh off the bat hot takes to give. He's fun. I like him a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
What kind of play style is he like? I mean, I've seen his moves, but when you're playing him, does he feel like a character that is projectile based, like Duck Hunt or Link, or is he more like up in your face, like a Pikachu or a Mario?
I think more up in your face. I don't. Of course, I am the most inexperienced Smash player to ever be giving opinions on this. But,
no, you're perfect. This is the people want to know.
Right. I feel like the amount of work you need to put into upgrading his tools is not worth the damage increase payoff that you get.
Okay.
Like, at all. Which is, I still do it because I have so much fun. Everyone else is fighting and I'm sitting there in the corner just like mining into the ground that I'm on.
Getting diamonds
that
or whatever.
That might be my favorite part of playing Smash Bros. Now is playing as Steve and everyone else is doing crazy stuff. I can just sit over there and hold a button and I'm like mining up materials. It makes me so happy. But
so it sounds strategically relevant to inhibit you from doing that, to specifically target you and stop you from mining.
Right. Yeah, so even playing with friends that will leave me alone, I can't imagine playing him in a game where people aren't. You know, they see you mining, they're like, we gotta go get him.
Right.
So the amount of mining you have to do to get, like, a diamond for, like, top tier damage stuff is a lot. You gotta do it for quite a while. And it's the same, as you know, it's the same amount of time each time to get to that diamond total. Even if you do it in chunks, you'll always get to it after a certain amount of digging.
Okay.
So, yeah, that takes a lot of work. I don't really notice a difference at all when I do get the upgrade. And then here's the real kicker. Once you get it and you die, you're back to wooden tools. Like, boom, it's gone. So you can spend this whole time getting to that tool, upgrade. Someone kills you right as you get it. Sorry, there goes all your mining work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gone.
It's, it's like an extreme version of cloud, right? Because cloud has the limit that you charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if people leave you alone, you can actually become crazy powerful. But with this one, it's like it's a more permanent upgrade, but it's also a longer path to get there.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is I feel like the payoff didn't really end up feeling worth it. Like, I kind of started doing it less the longer I played, because I was like, I'm not really seeing a difference here.
Do you think that the upgrade is like damage percentage only, or does it increase the power of it for launching power? Because if it's just percentage, it may be hard to notice until you realize that they're getting their damage percentage up higher faster.
Launching power would make sense, but I tried to notice with percentage, and I wasn't noticing barely anything. So that's something I would be interested in watching maybe a video on to see what the actual numbers are. Because maybe just in the heat of the moment, maybe I was just like, this isn't doing enough.
Right.
That
you're
I
expecting
to
walk out there with like a mega hammer when you get the diamond.
Exactly. Because it does take a lot of work, and you can only get there sometimes if people leave you alone, which doesn't happen in Smash.
I could see if it was a temporary buff that they would make it feel that way. But I also understand that they make it like us. I'd hope it would be a noticeable but not super effective buff if it's permanent until you die, because
that could be
really sucky if you're losing, right? Because then it's like he kills you and he's got diamond and you respawn, and now it's like, well, now he's just gonna be mega powerful until the next time I kill him.
And there's a lot of characters can still break, because all of his weapons break eventually also.
Oh,
so the diamond ones do break eventually if he doesn't
die. okay so yeah, I guess it is temporary in a sense then. Weird. Weird concept. I work with some like preteens and teens at our church, and they've been bugging me because we played some Smash Bros at like a social night we had at one point, and I got to destroy them all in Smash Bros, which was great. But
Very nice. Oh, can I say I have loved your advice on setting it from stock to time?
Yes,
that worked beautifully.
Oh, you hadn't been doing that?
No, I usually hate the timed mode, but I play with a few friends that, you know, they don't play Smash Brothers. They hardly play video games. So playing Smash Brothers with my friend like Judah, who's crazy good. Oh my word, he drove me up the wall. Insane. I was like hysterically laughing, like madman laughing, because he was killing us all, starting the match at 120%
and still pulling it off.
I don't remember, did I tell you who he was playing as?
No, you didn't.
Okay, I don't remember who it was.
Was it a heavy character like Bowser or Ganondorf?
No, it was one of the anime characters. That's why I don't know who it
one
was.
One of the anime characters.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. What was my train of thought? I was saying something else a second ago. Oh, no. What was it?
Smash Bros. Is good. Timed mode is great for parties.
That's what it was. Timed mode is amazing. I'm playing with people who, you know, have barely ever played ever. And they end up winning sometimes. Because, you know, when you die, you lose points. So the best players usually end up facing off the most. And so their score will kind of balance out at the end. Meanwhile, the other players who don't know what they're
just
doing...
just have to walk up and accidentally hit you at one point, right?
Exactly. They'll get, like, a cheeky kill on accident every so often. But you're like, oh, you know, I don't need to worry about them. So at the end of the game, they have, like, the most net positive points. Meanwhile, you have, like, 8 more kills than them, but also 7 more deaths than them.
Right.
So you only got 1 point. So that's actually been a lot of fun playing on that mode as opposed to stock.
Cool. I know when I was playing with that big group of people that, man, the final Smash meter being on when you have more than like 6 people is at that point kind of just random chaos nonstop. Like we had items, we had like 6 to 8 people at any given time, and we had the Smash meter on, and it was great because it was timed, so people who had never played before, you could hand them a controller, and you'd be like, this is fun, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm having fun, and it's crazy, and they're like, who hit me? You know, they're yelling at each other, and then as soon as you're like 1 minute into the game and everyone starts unlocking their final Smashes, it's just like cutscenes and explosions, and there's Giga Bowser, and then Joker comes in and takes over the screen for a while. It's just absolutely nuts.
So fun to watch.
It's a little frustrating when you're like trying to pull something off because you do know how to play the game, and then there's like 9 people who keep doing cutscenes with the special effects.
I feel that. Someone actually made a mod for the new Minecraft character for Steve that you can type in your username on your actual Minecraft account, and it'll pull your skin and just stick it on Steve.
What?
And it looks really good because, you know, it's just a Minecraft model, so it fits perfectly. And it's just
you're talking
just
about a, on like a cracked Switch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For a
that's
mod,
that's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool to see that.
Cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you had some good adventures in your gaming week.
Yeah, I still wish that you could join sessions like that online, where just like four locally and one online. Like, cause every time I would be like, oh, Daniel would love to join in on this. He loves Smash Bros. But you can't, and that's so frustrating. I don't understand.
The nearly perfect game, right? Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Dang it. There, you did. You played a little bit of Among Us with me this week, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah.
I think I did, didn't I?
Yeah, we actually, so on the Patient Players Discord server, we have a good little Among Us group going probably two or three times a week. So head on over there if you want to join us, patientplayers.com/discord. But in the meantime, we've been playing Among Us, and when we've had like five or six people, sometimes that's a little hard, because when you are with a group that plays the game a lot and they all kind of know the tasks and they know the rules and you start getting better at the game, having only one imposter is really hard. But if you have two imposters with less than like eight people, you lose almost immediately. It's so hard to pull it out. But we've been playing the hide and seek mode, which I had only heard of until this week, where we actually tried it. And my goodness, that game is really fun on hide and seek mode. If you haven't heard of it, you get one imposter. You set their vision all the way down so they can't see anything. You have no subtlety or deception in the game. You just tell people you're the imposter right away and they agree not to vote you out. But instead, you turn off all of the communications in the game, so people can't see what tasks they have to do. And it's basically the imposter running around trying to kill people as fast as they can while everyone else tries to complete their tasks and hide from this imposter that has almost no vision, so they can't see what's going on. And it turns it from a social engineering game to a horror game, essentially. Very, very fun. We've played that, I think, last night and then a few nights ago. And boy, it was great. We had, I think, five or six people each time. And it's great with lower amounts of people.
It was very refreshing for just to do something new in the same game. It's mm-hmm. it's very nice of them to have made the game into almost a sandbox mode where you can change every rule that you want to the point where people can make their entirely new game modes as they want in the custom settings.
I have to find how this is being done, but I saw some YouTube videos of people playing the game and they had new options that aren't in the game right now. So I wonder if it's either like a beta branch on Steam mm-hmm. or if there's some sort of mod they've installed, because it was great, but it was, they added an option to determine when the taskbar gets updated. So you can actually set it so that the taskbar does not fill in as you complete tasks. It only fills in either when it's completed or when a meeting is called. So you can see when a meeting's called, but that way if someone walks up to a task and they leave, you can't tell if the bar has changed because it never changes until you call a meeting.
No metagaming. There was some
other setting that was new that was like that, and I can't remember what it was, but I'd be really interested to know how you turn those on. I need to research that for next week's podcast.
I was wondering that too. I've seen articles saying Among Us beta adds such and such to voting options. And I'm like, how do I get in this? Like, but
I'm
going to
check
about
that while we're talking.
Like, Steam beta being a thing.
Yeah, I'll check that while we're still doing our podcast. So we'll hopefully have an answer for you in just a second. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be the beta branch on Steam. But that makes me wonder, how would you get players in it that don't own it on Steam? Is there a way to opt in on the mobile version, or is it just the server owner that changes, right? Like, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to opt into the beta and then turn around and not be able to play with any of the folks that we play with on the phone.
Right. That's a good point.
So let me see here. If I go to the betas.
I'd be surprised if you just can't do it on the mobile version.
Yeah. To me, that sounds like the best way to do it as a developer. If you want to test out your beta, is to just limit the audience mm-hmm. in that way. But there is a public beta you can sign up for on Steam. I'm going to assume that's how you do it.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool, so we played Among Us. That's still out there. I've been continuing to play Genshin Impact. Been doing my daily quests, been spending my energy, leveling up my battle pass, and I just genuinely really enjoying that game. The way it works is cool because you have that overall account level called your adventurer rank, right? And that's the one that you can't level up very quickly unless you spend the energy. But your character level, your weapon level, everything else you can level up in the game hits a cap until your overall adventurer level, adventuring rank, reaches a certain tier. So once it reaches a certain tier, it kind of unlocks the ability for all of your other stats to go past those thresholds. And I just reached adventurer rank, I think like 32. And so my last threshold was at 30. And when you hit those threshold, it actually does what is called increasing the world level. So your world level is based on your adventurer rank, but it changes the difficulty of everything in the game. So all the enemies in the open world, all of the side quests and repeatable quests, all of the repeatable bosses and stuff, they all scale to your world level. And what has ended up doing is making the game very difficult for me, because I've just passed my most recent threshold. And so all of my character levels and everything are barely above that last threshold, but all of the enemies are scaled to world level 3. Mm-hmm. And so I have like a level, I don't know, 45 character, right? And then my group of level 45 characters go up against a level 50 boss. And I fought the boss a dozen times, but it used to be level 30. Now it's level 50. And so it's like significantly harder. In fact, there's this one boss I went up against twice earlier today. I literally can't beat it anymore. And I'm kind of bummed out about
it. That is weird.
So that's my current experience. I'm kind of like, I'm back to feeling like I'm not very powerful when I used to feel very powerful. So mm-hmm. I need to buff up those stats on all the different items and stuff. I did get a new character. I got a couple new, I think just one new character since last week, because I've done maybe 10 or 20 different loot box pulls just off the currency I've been getting from the subscription and from my daily quests. But I got a character I never even heard of her before. She was not a character I was aiming to get. She wasn't the one I was trying to get. But I just got this this lightning warrior woman that has a two-handed sword. I was like, that's interesting, because she kind of fits well into my party. I was looking for someone with a two-handed sword, and I was looking to replace someone I have that's a lightning character. So I tried her out, and I found out that her main shtick, like her main ability, is basically a counter mechanic, and that you can trigger her ability and she will go into a counter stance. And if she gets hit, she counters with like this massive damage. And you know me, and I love my my parry mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, she's going to fit great on my team. So her name's like Bio or something, or Bayou. And I've been using her a whole bunch and enjoying her. But then she starts at level 1, right? So then I've got to like dump a bunch of my resources to bring her up to where this tier is. So all of this to say, it's gotten very difficult, but that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it. It's given me like stuff to look forward to, right? Of like, oh, I want to go do this challenge to unlock this experience point item that I can feed into my new character and bring her up to the level so I can use her. But at a certain point, I think I have like 6 or 7 characters I've been actively rotating through now.
Wow, that's
and so
crazy.
It's a little bit of a burden on my resources. I kind of have completely run out of money and experience points to like upgrade these people. So I just need to play more to get more items. But still a good game.
So is that counter against like PvE enemies, like environmental enemies?
Yeah.
They still they attack. They're not doing any like AI stuff where it's like, oh, they know you're about to do it and they don't. Okay.
No. It's like if you were playing Zelda and there's like a group of boblins or whatever they're called, right? And it's like, oh, I'm surrounded by 3 of them, I'm gonna trigger my parry stance, and so for the next like 3 seconds I still get hit, but I take like 60% reduced damage, and then depending on how many times I get hit, I then retaliate stronger and stronger depending on how many times I got hit.
Oh, very interesting.
And then there's like a special mechanic where if you initiate the parry the moment you take damage, it does max damage even if you only get hit once.
Parry the platypus?
No, this is a different world entirely.
There sorry.
There are no platypi in Genshin Impact.
I'm sorry, I was thinking Phineas and Ferb Impact.
Josh, you would play the heck out of that game.
I absolutely would. Wow.
I
wonder what the end of Genshin Impact will be. Like, this seems like a game, just the way, hearing you describe the way that the world levels up with you, like, what is the end of Genshin Impact?
Well,
in players' minds.
They've set it up so that there are like these 7 different elements, right? But and then there are 7 different associated gods with these elements and 7 different lands associated with these elements. But the game that's currently out only has 2 lands. It has the wind and the earth land.
Oh.
And like,
oh my.
I've completed all the storyline quests in the wind land and I'm now in the earth land doing those quests. And so I imagine at a certain point I'm going to complete that storyline and then I'm going to have to wait for whatever expansion pack or whatever update hits in like 6 months that adds a whole new area, right? So it's going to be like 50% of the open world expanded out even further, and there's going to be a new land that has to do with like ice or fire or whatever.
Wow. That's crazy.
And they're already kind of sowing the seeds in the storyline, right? Like, you can see the bad guys who are doing a lot of the stuff in the first zone, in the wind zone, are, like, politically tied to the ice god. So I imagine that, like, the ice zone, it's either going to be the next zone we go to, or it's going to be, like, the final zone.
Mm-hmm.
When we get Genshin Impact Iceborne, then I'll be able to tell you.
That's so. I was thinking about Iceborne when I was playing Pokemon, because it's an ice-based expansion. I was like, Pokemon Sword and Shield Iceborne. This is nice.
Your game is not complete until you have an ice-based expansion pack. We can all identify this now.
Well, I guess Bloodborne was never complete. There was an ice level, but it wasn't an expansion.
Mortal Shell also had an ice level. Interesting.
People like their ice levels.
Yep.
Developers do, at least.
Only other thing on Genshin Impact is, I think I mentioned there was, like, this character I was looking for. I mentioned that he, like, left, right? He, like, left the rotation last week. You know what? It didn't happen until Sunday. So it actually didn't happen until after we recorded our podcast. But there was this character I was looking to get for my team, and his, like, loot box is gone now. You can't get it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, man, I've missed out on him. I looked it up, and apparently MiHoYo, who's the name of the developers for Genshin Impact, they've done other gacha games, and usually on those games, if a character, like a special character, leaves the rotation, they'll come back two or three times over the next year, and then eventually they'll get added to the main rotation. So, gone, but not forever. Hopefully I'll have another chance at Venti, the wind archer. But in the meantime...
Gone, but not forgotten.
In the meantime, I am just pulling the normal loot boxes, because I don't like the new character. It's like a little girl that throws bombs.
Isn't a Venti a coffee?
It is a Starbucks size.
It's a size?
Yes.
Does it mean something in a language?
I believe it means large in Italian, French?
A serving of drink of coffee measuring 20 fluid ounces. That's according to the Oxford Dictionary. So it sounds like it's an actual thing and not a Starbucks thing.
It was definitely made by Starbucks.
Italian, Venti, means 20.
That makes sense.
Hmm.
Other than Genshin Impact and Among Us, I swear, literally the only other thing I've been doing has been a ton of VR with my Oculus Quest 2.
I was going to say, Heroes of the Storm.
No. I mean, I continue playing with my team, but outside my team practices and matches, I haven't played a second of Heroes of the Storm. It's all been Oculus Quest 2 all the time. I definitely feel like this is the Daniel VR renaissance right now, because I really hadn't used my old headset very much apart from, like, when Boneworks came out. I only played Half-Life Alyx twice. I played for probably like 3 hours total.
That never sat well with me.
I'm sure I will get back to it, but I've actually not booted it up a single time yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've not booted up either Half-Life Alyx or Boneworks. In fact, I would say that about 90% of what I've played has been native to the Quest. It has not been on my PC.
Okay, just like games that you already owned, or did you buy new ones?
So, it's all been free games, actually.
Oh. Are these the side-loaded apps?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Are you serious?
Do you remember? So, I mentioned SideQuest being this program that you can sideload applications onto your Quest. And that's how I got the virtual desktop thing working. Well, I went back to that program and was just, like, looking through their top games. And I was like, whatever. I'll just install, like, 9 of these things and just try them out. And, man, they're not great a lot of the time, but they're interesting. And it's, like, it reminded me why I loved VR in the first place. That's why I call it, like, a renaissance. Because I feel like I had gotten so caught up in, like, these big AAA VR games that just kind of disappointed me. Like, Half-Life Alyx, where it was, like... Yeah, it's fun and there's a lot to do, but, like, I feel like I'm on rails. I feel like I'm playing a AAA developer game where, you know, they've set out the level to be like this, and then they have a tutorial where this person tells you to do this, and if you don't do it, they're going to get mad at you, right? And I was missing all of the weirdness of VR, of, like, you know what? I bet the developer didn't expect me to stick my head through this wall and, like, see what was on the other side, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do it anyways, right? Like, there's the AAA games are almost, like, too clean. And I think that's one of the reasons I loved Boneworks so much, was because you could, like, climb on anything. And so you could kind of break the game a little bit if you tried really hard enough. If you were clever enough, just like in real life, if you were clever enough, you could, like, climb over an obstacle you weren't supposed to and like get somewhere you weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how Boneworks was, and I really liked that about it. And so I've really enjoyed these janky, like, half-completed early access games and demos. Honestly, the one I've played the most is an Attack on Titan game called Attack on Quest.
Oh my word, you actually downloaded it.
I downloaded it. So I had a friend over the same day we recorded last week's podcast. I had him over in the evening, and I was showing him Beat Saber and Space Pirate Trainer. He's like, wow, this is so cool. Like, he had played the Vive a little bit, but he's like, it's, you know, it's very clear because it's the upgraded Quest 2. And he's like, yeah, this is really, really cool. He's like, you know what? We're hanging out. We got a few hours and nothing else to do. Why don't I just like load up some of these stupid games and see how fun they are? And he's like, sure. So let me tell you, I booted up the Attack on Quest game, and it pulls up and you're looking at like this janky menu, and there's like this really just thumping like remix of one of the Attack on Titan songs like blaring in my ears, and I'm standing in a forest of like 15 trees that looks like it was made on the Nintendo 64. Like, like I'm talking about the floor texture is just, yeah, like the same leaf repeated over like 100 times.
Nice.
I mean it when I say it looks like it was made on the Nintendo 64. And I'm looking at the menu when you first log into the game, and it has like all the buttons mapped out on what they do. I'm like, okay, so this button does the grappling hook, this button does my boost, whatever. And then this just says switch to flare gun. So I click a button and my sword becomes a flare gun. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I fire off a flare, go back to my sword, go to the next page of the instructions, and it's like, fire off a red flare to summon the Titans. And I was like, oh no. And then I just hear this thunderous boom, and I turn around behind me, and in VR, there is a full-sized Titan that looks horrifying because, again, he looks like he was made on a Nintendo 64 program.
Oh,
so
no.
It's like this disgusting
polygons.
Old man, and he's just walking towards me, and I'm still in the menu, so none of my buttons work. So I can't move. I can't escape. And I just started screaming, like legitimately horrified screaming. And my friend was there watching, and he was laughing his head off, right? But
was he like holding your phone?
Yes.
Watching? Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I never found out how to close the menu that time. And so I just got to watch as this giant Titan came and just like the shows just like picks me up and eats me. And it was genuine terror that I felt. And I was like, this is what VR is all about. It's putting you in the world of Attack on Titan if you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played that game probably like 30 minutes a night every night. And they have multiplayer. So you just join with random people online and like swing around these Titans and kill them. And I gotta say, I was telling my wife about this, like it's beautiful how this like really janky kind of badly made free demo on VR that there's no goals, right? Titans just keep spawning and you kill them until you want to stop. It's like super early access, but it can create these amazing moments where like I got grabbed by a Titan, he destroyed all of my gear so I couldn't grapple around, and he was about to eat me, and some dude on multiplayer like killed him, and I fell to the ground, and Whoa. Now I have to like run to a refill station to get more gas, so I'm completely out of my swords and gas and anything I can use to defend myself. I have Titans coming down on either side of me, and like all these multiplayer randos are just like flying around killing them left and right to protect me as I go to the gas. It was like the most beautiful cinematic Attack on Titan moment I've ever experienced, and I got to be a part of it. And it just made me so happy that this is what VR can do.
That is so weird that like other people are also playing it. Like,
yeah.
Whose idea was this app, and whose idea was it to put games on this side loading app?
Yeah.
And then whose idea was to actually download it and play these games?
Like, oh my gosh. What? And like I don't know these people I'm talking to. There's this one guy who kept talking about how super high he was, and that was a little awkward, but he seemed to be having a great time, so I was like, awesome for you, bud.
Oh my goodness.
Today I was on there, and I have played it throughout the week, so I've gotten much, much better at it. And to increase the challenge, there's a mode where it turns off your cursors, like your pointers, so you don't know where your hooks are going unless you can feel it
nice.
Out. Like, you basically have to learn the trajectory of where your hooks are going.
Mm-hmm.
So I've turned on that mode, and I've just been playing around, and I joined a group of on a multiplayer server, and this guy had never played before. So I was teaching him all sorts of tricks. I was like, it's crazy the stuff in there. Like, if you get grabbed and you're about to get eaten, you can eject your sword, and if you do it at the right angle and it hits them in the eye, they will drop you. And, like, you can cut their ankles and they'll fall down and you can, like, get a shot at their neck. Because if you don't know, in Attack on Titan, the way to kill the Titans is to cut their neck. So, I'm just gushing about that silly little demo, tech demo. It's, like, not even a game, but it's super fun. A few of the other ones I played on there were really clever puzzle games. There's one called Pavlov, which is another free one, which I'm really surprised it's free because it's, like, one of those really realistic military weapon games. So, you're, like... It's a lot like Counter-Strike. They have modes that are very, very like Counter-Strike. Like, you're trying to plant a bomb and shoot other players. And as you do well in the game, you get money to buy better weapons and stuff like that. So I played that offline with bots, and that was really cool. They had a zombies mode, which was actually terrifying to have zombies descending on you. And they weren't like... I was expecting, like, a shambling zombie, but these are, like, running zombies, like Left 4 Dead zombies. And I'm in VR trying to, like, shoot them in the head, and I'm not good at aiming in VR because you have to actually aim a gun... You can't just be like, because like in Left 4 Dead, I could like whip around and headshot zombies left and right with a mouse. But in this game, I'm like actually trying to shoot them, and then I have to reload in real life, and I only reload as fast as I actually do in real life. VR is beautiful.
I found a post by supposedly the creator of Attack on Quest, and it's just some random dude on Reddit. He posted like 8 months ago saying, "Hey guys, I spent the last few months working on this game."
I'm part of his Discord now. I'm like looking at the people playing. That's so cool. And...
Oh my word. It has 63 upvotes. Like, what a weird just like hobby to do. And then people seem to be loving it so much. And it sounds like it's really good too.
So to compare all that, the other VR thing I've been doing is I bought a full price VR game. I actually did it.
How dare you?
It didn't end up being discounted on accident. Called Asgard's Wrath. It's only on the Oculus store. It's only on PC VR. It's not on the Quest. So I've been playing that with the cable attached to my computer. And it's like a Norse mythology game. So you're playing a Norse god, and like your little tutorial guy is Loki, voiced by Matt Mercer, which is great.
Oh, that's nice.
But like, this is the exact thing I was talking about. I've been playing this game, and honestly, the actual mechanics might be just as janky as all of these other demos I've been playing, right? Like the sword fighting, it like you can parry a sword blow and you can slice at your enemy, and it has like combos and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still like wobbling around in VR. It has that weird feel to it.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes it like a AAA game is like all of the animation and models. Like it looks good, and the animations of all the characters are all very realistic. But what's weird about it is that like realistic video game animations aren't actually realistic. Mm-hmm. Like they're very over animated. You know, like a character has to move a lot to look alive in a video game.
It's cinematic, I guess.
Right. So like I'm walking around this VR world, and like it looks beautiful and it feels cinematic. Yeah, it feels like I'm in some sort of movie because it doesn't feel like I'm in real life.
Right.
But then when I actually play the game, it doesn't play significantly better than any of these weird demos I've been playing, which is it's been a weird experience. I'll keep playing it because I'm not even done with like that first level. They're still teaching me new mechanics, but not the first level where you like learn the mechanics and they give you your first sword and your first shield and all that stuff, but the opening scene of the game has you coming down as a Norse god, a brand new born, new god.
Okay.
And so it puts you in the middle of this ocean as a Kraken fights Loki, and then Loki gets called back and hands you his god sword. And so you are like 50 stories tall on this ocean fighting a Kraken, and you're like shooting lightning bolts from your sword and chopping the Kraken's tentacles up, and it was pretty amazing. It was like, okay, this is
awesome.
This is why this is like AAA quality.
Goodness. And I'm still excited to hear your impressions on Squadrons too, because that seems like a game that I guess you wouldn't really have that issue, like if it being overly, I don't know what's the word, overly cinematic, because there's no like animations to judge it by. You're just like you're in a ship and you just fly. So like, what do you think your thoughts will be on that?
I don't know, because I feel like there's a big difference between games that are built for VR and games that have VR included in them, right? Because like Star Wars Squadron and like Skyrim and those kind of games, theoretically, all the mechanics should work equally as well outside of VR. And so their fun factor doesn't come from the fact that you're in VR. It's just like VR is like a new way to experience it. So if I find Skyrim fun, I will like Skyrim VR and I will feel like I'm more part of the game. And if I like Star Wars Squadron, I will enjoy it in VR because it will be immersive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide if I should play Squadron for the first time outside of VR with a controller and then like get used to the concepts of the game there and then jump in with my full flight stick and headset and all that stuff. Or mm-hmm. if I should just learn it that way, right? Like, what if my first experience is with all of these weird controls in VR? I wonder if that's going to turn me off from it.
I don't think it will. Not with that fancy resolution device you have, with how clear it is. I would love it if... Because, you know, you're in VR, you need to be able to look at little screens in front of you and see what's on them. Like, I can't imagine how nicer that would be to play it with a cleaner resolution, or even with like a HOTAS, as you have, to look down and see like controls in the game and to actually be using those. That sounds amazing. And like, when next time I visit you, I want to play Squadrons in your VR headset, even though I could play Squadrons in my VR headset.
Just because you want the better resolution and the flight stick controls?
Yeah, I feel like that would make a huge difference to the game. Mm-hmm.
You should come down sometime before the holidays. We could do a little get together. Just no special occasion. Just come hang out.
That's true. You know, have they announced if PAX is going to be a thing in January? I guess I imagine that they're still wanting it to be. And maybe
I doubt it at this point.
I mean, doubt it too.
Tickets normally go on sale like months before where we're sitting right now. But obviously nothing is normal. Nothing is normal nowadays.
Yeah, it might. I wonder if they'll do the online thing or if PAX South just isn't big enough to do the online version of it.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump into deals or should I tell you one more cool little VR thing?
Sure, yeah, you can finish VR.
Sure. There's a game called Help Yourself, which is interesting. It's a puzzle game. It's primarily about shooting robots. Like every level is basically like you win the level when you either shoot all the targets or shoot all the robots.
Fair enough.
But what's interesting is that you don't move around. You basically pick a spawn point. They'll have, like, for this puzzle, there's, like, three places you can spawn. And you can spawn at each of those places once. And then you do certain actions, right? And then you go back to the main area and you spawn in a new location. But every time you respawn, it resets time. And so, basically, you can be in as many places at once as there are spawn points. So the solution might be, oh, grab this gun, shoot this robot, throw the gun to yourself, catch it, shoot another robot, and then drop it down a chute to a third you who catches it and shoots a third robot. But you do all of those one at a time. So you basically spawn into the first spot, shoot the robot, and you just kind of chuck the gun at where you're going to be next, and then you're done. So you like end this life, and then you go back in again into the second spot, and you watch yourself shoot the robot and then throw the gun, and now you catch the gun. And now for your second life, you're performing new actions, right? So at some point, I played a level where there was like 9 spawn points, and you basically had to like, one side had the gun.
Bless you. Sorry. I'm allergic to cool sounding VR games.
Another side had the ammo. And so you had to basically like toss it between 2 or 3 of you on either side to go up a ladder of people. And then at the top, you were able to toss them to a single person who combined them and then shot the robots. But when you do that last life, when you actually play out that last life, you have to wait for all of your other lives to throw the item back and forth. So meanwhile, you're like dodging the bullets from these robots until all of your other lives play out and throw the gun at you. And then you grab the gun and you shoot the robot. It's a pretty cool idea.
It almost sounds like a VR version of, what was it? Iron Danger? Like as VR as you could get for a game like that, where you're not rewinding time, but it's still...
Possibly, where you're like choosing what each character does each time.
And it impacts what the other ones do. I don't know.
It's a similar concept because you're able to meticulously do each position, but it's way less strategy and way more execution because you can't pause time at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's cool. Was that on Steam? Yeah. You got that? Or...
No, that was SideQuest. That was free as well.
Oh, what? No way. Wow, dang.
SideQuest. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. There's one I haven't even talked about, which we'll save that for another day.
Okay, yeah. So buy your $300 Quest 2 ladies and gents, and then just play free games, apparently. Which I saw, I was at Walmart the other day, and I saw a bunch of Quests 2 in the electronics section, and I was like, ooh, it's tempting, but I kept walking. Just from what you said about it.
So deals, let's talk about some deals this week. That's what we like to do on the Patient Players podcast. There's actually a lot more than I thought they would be because we have a special spoopy holiday coming up. We have our normal monthly stuff that I won't spend any time on because we've talked about it the last few weeks, but there are free games with PlayStation Plus and Xbox games for gold. Those are all the same as previous weeks. Now, the Epic Game Store does free games every week. We mentioned that right now you can get Costume Quest 2 and Layers of Fear 2 for free up until October the 29th. Go pick those up and enjoy your Halloween goodies. But they've now announced upcoming on this Thursday, the 29th, going for the next week, you can get the games Blair Witch and Ghostbusters, the video game remastered.
Oh, that's neat.
Everyone knew that game needed a remaster, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Those are free on Epic Game Store. Definitely pick those up. But I wanted to call out as well, they have a few extra deals, not free games, but deals for the for their Halloween sale. They have the Dead Cells is $14.99. It's a fantastic game. I have it on Switch, but I would love to play it again on PC. A very, very, very good roguelike game from recent years. Hmm. Speaking of roguelike games, Hades is down to $20.
Ooh.
I will mention both of those games, both Dead Cells and Hades, are high enough priced that they're eligible for the coupon you got by downloading Rocket League for free, which we told you to do, because when you do that, you get a coupon. So if you download Rocket League in the Epic Game Stores, you get a free coupon. It is, what, negative $10 for Rocket League right now? But that coupon does expire on November the 1st. So before next podcast, we will get one more chance to remind you if you watch the live recording. But by the time next episode comes out, episode 56, it will be too late for you to use that coupon. So this is your last chance to use your Epic Games Store coupon. There's a great sale going on. Pick up Dead Cells for what would that be? $5? Hades for $10? If you want to be like me and pick up Mortal Shell like I did earlier this year, and I talked about that game a lot. It's a very good game, only on Epic Games Store for PC. That not only can you use the coupon for, but they just had a Halloween themed or autumn themed skin pack released, so you can reskin the game. You can reskin the whole game to look more horrible, and like enemies will have pumpkins on their heads, or like your main characters will get creepy bloody outfits. Along with that visual update, they are marking that 20% off, so you can use your coupon and get 20% off. And at that point, I don't know the math there, but
like $14.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, $14.
It's $24.
So I got it for $30 with my coupon. Wait, did I get it for $30? Or did I get it for $20? I think I got it for $20.
For like, yeah, $20 or $25. Maybe $15. 20. Maybe it was marked down to $25 and then you used the coupon?
No, I bought it. I tried to buy it full price and the coupon applied, remember?
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think I got it for $20, but you can get it for like $15 right now, which is a really, really good deal. Mortal Shell is a fantastic game.
Very cool.
Other than that, there is another sale going on for the Steam. I don't know if it's their official Halloween sale, but you have a lot of spooky games on sale. A lot of not very spooky games that I wanted to call out. There's more than these, but these are the ones that I saw I wanted to mention. Jordan, you've been looking for the game GTFO to go on sale, right?
It's actually been on my wish list for a while, yeah.
It's only 20% off, which I think is the first time I've seen it go on sale, and it's not a super deep cut, so I'm probably going to still wait on it.
Yeah, it is. I have seen it go on sale multiple times with it being on my wish list.
I get notified
a lot. So I did see that too, but at the same time, it needs to be a good enough sale to where I can buy it and I can convince my friends to all buy it.
Right, because you wouldn't want to play it by yourself.
It's a work together kind of game.
There is also Remnant from the Ashes. That's a game, call back to way the earlier episodes of the podcast, we played a bunch of Remnant from the Ashes. So the game itself is down to like $20, I think, which is half off. Pretty good deal. They also have two DLC packs, and so you can get the complete edition, which gives you the game and both DLC packs. I think it's like $30, $35 right now on Steam, which is less than the base game normally costs. So if you're interested at all in Remnant from the Ashes, that'll be a good chance to get a lot of content there. And then two other ones I saw, they were both half off. Tabletop Simulator, which is a good chance to play virtual board games of any kind, virtual D&D, and they have a VR mode of that game. That is half off, and I think that puts it down to like $10, $5. And GTA 5 is down to $15. That's also half off. So
wow,
I think we mentioned crazy. That was free a few months ago on Epic Games Store, but if you've missed it, GTA 5 is only $15 right now.
Good sales.
Anything stand out to you that you think people should take advantage of?
Not really. You know? Not exactly. That could just be I'm not a big fan of the spoopy games.
That's true. My first Steam Halloween sale was where I picked up BioShock, actually. Which is
Oh, that's cool.
Sort of a spoopy game. I guess it's a pretty spoopy game.
Oh, you know what? I actually did buy a game on sale this week. What am I talking about? I was a patient player.
Mm-hmm.
I bought shoot, what is it called? Lego Police Officer.
Oh, are you talking about like Lego City, the one for the Switch?
I think so.
What?
Lego City Undercover. Yes.
Yeah, wasn't that like a launch game or something?
It was a game for the Wii U that's ported
right.
to Switch, and I wanted to get it for the Wii U, but it was like full price back then.
I remember it came out for the Wii U and I launched because it was one of the few games that had all these cool like gamepad mini games and stuff.
Yep. So I was a patient player and I finally got it this week after all these years on Switch for $8.
Wow.
So
is it worth $8 for Lego
I haven't
City
tried it
Undercover?
Yet, but I'm looking forward to trying it. I read reviews on it and like I've heard a lot of good things about it. Like,
cool.
I googled it to find the name right now, and it says 94% liked this video game. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm like, sure, if I want to play a Lego game, you know, I was happy to get it on sale.
Do you know the best way to play, because you talk about Switch games, I'm thinking about Pikmin 3 is coming out, or is already out? It's coming out in like a week or two, isn't it?
It's not out yet. I don't know when it comes out, though.
I played Pikmin 1 just late last year and I really really liked it, having not gone back to it since I was a kid. I never beat it as a kid, it was too hard for me, but I played through the whole game, got all the different pieces and really liked it. And now I'm wondering, like, I think I want to try out Pikmin 2 and get ready for Pikmin 3. I don't know if I'm going to buy Pikmin 3 full price, but I might ask for it for the holidays or something like that. Mm-hmm. From my loved ones.
That comes out on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And if you'd like to play it right now, you can download the free demo available on the Switch eShop, or whatever they call it these days. I don't think they call it eShop anymore, but it just kind of stuck around.
I think it's just the... No, is it not the eShop? Isn't it the Nintendo eShop when you click it?
I don't
it?
Think so. I always Google eShop, but I never see it like written anywhere or in any URL.
Huh.
It's always Nintendo official site, video game store,
the website,
game store. Yeah, I think they unbranded the eShop, but I still Google eShop.
Well, why don't you take us to the final and best part of the podcast, the questions and answers section, to bring us home here, Jordan?
Yes, of course. We have people who love to write us. Well, I don't know if they love to, but they write us at
everybody loves to write us, Jordan.
You're right. I'm sorry. They love to write us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And
that's right.
This week, one of our regular writers, Miranda, writes, hello, patient players. My first question to you this week is, have you ever played Crash Bandicoot? And were you good at it? My second question is, which is better, mayonnaise or peanut butter? Thank you, Miranda.
Okay. Two simple questions.
Crash Bandicoot.
I think I have two simple answers here.
Very good.
I have played Crash Bandicoot. I don't really remember it because it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I was good at it.
Secondly, there you go.
Peanut butter is far superior in every way.
Mm, I see. I played Crash Bandicoot, not the original, but I played the new remaster that came out. I think I got it on Switch for like my birthday a few years back. I heard that the new one that just came out is really, really good, though. Have
the
you
remaster?
Heard about that?
The remaster, or did they...
The new one. The brand new one called It's About Time. I think it's like the fourth one in the series.
I was about to say, I remember vaguely that they were doing a new one. Is that out right now?
It is out, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, and apparently it's really, really good for a Crash Bandicoot game.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so...
Were you good at it?
I mean, yeah, it was a game, you know?
Cool. Mm-hmm. You're good at all games, so therefore if it was a game...
Exactly.
You must be good at it.
Mayonnaise and peanut butter, I love mayonnaise on everything, but also this question makes me sad because they're two very different toppings, I guess. Are they toppings?
Mayonnaise has its place, but there's no contest here. There's absolutely no contest. It's peanut butter every sense of the word.
But why?
Because peanut butter might be the best food ever invented.
Okay.
I have right now in my freezer 2 spoons of peanut butter just so I can have a snack after this podcast.
They're just 2 spoons with peanut butter on them.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They're delicious. Peanut butter is amazing.
Why do you need to refrigerate them?
No, you freeze them because then they get like, it's like, it's, you have to like bite through them. It's like ice cream, but it's just pure peanut butter.
A peanut butter-sicle.
It's like a thick, it's not like hard. You don't have to like lick it. Like it's still soft, but it's like thicker than normal peanut butter.
So I wouldn't do that with mayonnaise. That's fair.
I don't go to the mayonnaise jar and take a giant spoonful of it and lick it off the spoon like I do with peanut butter sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like my identity is rooted in mayonnaise, and it's starting to sound like your identity is rooted in peanut butter. So I like how she asked this question.
I feel like about 50% of my nutritional value for the day is rooted in peanut butter.
Oh my goodness.
I'll do peanut butter for breakfast. I'll do peanut butter for lunch. I'll do peanut butter for snacks. Usually not for dinner, but like, if I'm still hungry after dinner, I'll do a tortilla with peanut butter in it.
That's funny, because you're the one who introduced me to the beautiful concept of peanut butter and ice cream, which changed my life.
Beautiful. I swear I have to exercise just so that I'm allowed to eat peanut butter without exploding my weight because it's so dense in calories.
Mm-hmm. So someone in chat, our dear hacker of the podcast, Keaton, says peanut butter 100% better. And mm-hmm. I was like, it made me reread the question, which is better. So, like, I love mayonnaise and it makes me sad, but I think I want to agree with you. Like, peanut butter is like objectively better.
Yeah, it's great.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is that I still love mayonnaise and it's still my baby.
They're like you would still choose mayonnaise.
Well, no, not even that. But like, just that they're, you know, you can't choose between your two kids. You love them both, even if one is objectively better. One gets all the A's in school. One made the dean's list. And one has the nice job. Your other one works at Taco Bell.
If one of my kids was peanut butter, I would love them more.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Let's move on to our next email on that note.
Let me just say, no panini grilled cheese is complete without a layer of mayonnaise that like melts into it. Makes it infinitely better. Mm. Peanut butter still wins by a landslide. By a peanut butter slide.
Mm, peanut butter slide.
I'd go down a peanut butter slide.
I think I would too. So, but it'd be very so slow. Gross.
It'd be slow, and I'd be so gross at the end of it.
Wee.
All right.
Okay, take us away through our next email.
This will bring us to our second email. This one appears to be an email from a liaison of regular emailer K, Agent K, who has been cryptically sending us messages about his journey through the abyss and into all sorts of crazy shenanigans via messengers that don't really know what's going on. But this comes in from Jacketh Statterhorn, which I believe we've heard one of his logs previously. I could be wrong. It says, "It is day 2 of my journey through the Vexian Rift wormhole. This journey was only supposed to
Vexican.
Last..." No. That's the wormhole down south.
Okay, sorry.
"The journey was only supposed to be last for around 20 minutes, and yet it is a whole day later, and we are still traveling through the wormhole. I say we, but I haven't seen another human being since that strange man..." Wait a second. This is sounding vaguely familiar. "Strange man appeared to be yesterday. Could it be that time moves slower for us in the wormhole than it does for those observing outside of it? Could it be that my crewmates are actually here, but I just can't observe them due to the visual distortion and audio deafening caused by the black hole? It was so hard to think straight about my situation since I hadn't eaten in 24 hours. I figured this was enough of an emergency to pull out and eat one of our emergency rations. That's when I noticed something strange.
It was peanut butter.
Our emergency rations usually don't have pictures or fancy text on their wrappers other than the name of their contents. However, when I peeled it open, inside of the wrapper was the following question. If you could make any one video game location your home, what would it be? Be specific. Don't just narrow it down to a specific game world. Where specifically in that game where would you like to live, i.e. what town and in what building? Am I hallucinating? Perhaps the effects of the wormhole are affecting my mentality as well. If this goes on any longer, perhaps I will try to go search for my crewmates, said Jacketh Statterhorn.
We still don't know how he told us this in our email. And also, I feel so sad because it implies he opens up his snack and the food isn't inside. So Kay replaced one of his emergency rations with a question about video games.
Well, it says this question was on the inside of the wrapper. So the food is still there. It's like you go open up your ice cream sandwich and it's like in the wrapper is this question.
Oh, on the inside of the wrapper. Okay, okay. Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better.
He still got to eat his ice cream sandwich, his space ice cream.
Ooh, okay. His space peanut butter ice cream sandwich.
I was about to say, I wonder if he added the peanut butter to it. That makes it just,
What a specific question. I have a lot of questions in return. Like, do I die?
Can you die in this house?
Yeah.
Let's say yeah. Let's say yes.
Yeah. Like, so I don't respawn.
No, you got to live there. You're a citizen.
That changes a lot of things. Like, what is the most peaceful, not dangerous video game world that I can possibly live in?
What world has the least likelihood for instant death via player character shenanigans?
Exactly. Like, what would that...
So, would it not be one of your, like, Minecraft creations? I feel like that's where you would want to live, because that's, like, a game that you actually build out something that you would want to live in.
That's really lonely. I think I would get lonely.
What if all your friends were there that helped you build it? And it's just, like, your little community?
What friends?
Whoever was there when you built it.
Okay, this is... I don't know. I don't think you convinced me to live in a world where there are creatures that literally walk up behind you and explode.
That's fair. And they just appear every night.
Or, yeah, if you're walking around at night, oops, I accidentally looked at this tall, creepy man. He's going to haunt me until I die.
Took a piece of my wall.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I don't think that's a good world to live in.
That's true.
But
that's
I don't know what is.
I'm trying to think of something that is clever, because all I can think about is, like, the beautiful architecture of Genshin Impact.
Oh, boy.
And, like, the main city, Mondstadt, it would be pretty cool to live in. Seems pretty peaceful, except for the events of the game, which after you resolve the bad things in the game, it seems pretty peaceful. But honestly, the thing that keeps coming to my mind is, what game has bathrooms? Because, like, there are so many video game houses that would be terrible to live in, because it has, like, the rooms you care about and, like, a bedroom and a living quarter. And then there's, like, no amenities, right? You don't have, like, a dining room. You don't have, like, a bathroom, right? Only games that take place in actual houses, like Resident Evil 7 or whatever, where, like, in a person's house. Those games have, like, actual livable houses. I feel like most video games just cheap out on it. Like, Skyrim, right? Like, I could pick one of the houses of Skyrim, like Breezeholm or something like that. And, like, yeah, it's got dining rooms and bedrooms and, like, alchemy tables, and, like, it would be a cool place to live. It's beautiful, it's fully stocked with food, it has a fireplace, it's warm, whatever. But it's like, where's just, like, somewhere to go to the bathroom? Where's, like, a
that
shower?
Is an interesting point. Are there toilets in the old Pokemon games?
No, there's no bathrooms or toilets or anything.
I'm about to Google Pokemon bathroom.
You're just going to find people who have decorated their bathroom to look like Pokemon.
I know, but is that a bad thing? Because that sounds nice, too. Aww.
That does sound really nice.
These are fun.
The only game that can come to mind, which is really funny, I don't think this is my answer, but the only thing that comes to mind is games like Tycoon games, where you have to actually, or like The Sims, where you have to actually build structures that, like, replicate real-world buildings. So I'm thinking of, like, a building in The Sims, or, like, the only other game I've played is Prison Architect. Like, I gotta build, like, a mess hall and a bathroom and, like, a workout gym and, like, sleeping quarters for all these prisoners in Prison Architect. And I'm like, that's probably the most livable space I've ever played in a game. Because you have to actually build, like, water pipes and electrical outlets and stuff like that. So, I guess I'm gonna say my prison from Prison Architect, which is gonna be a horrible place to live because it's a prison.
Oh,
our podcast live stream suggested Zoo Tycoon, but, like, also, I don't want to live at a zoo. That seems kind of miserable.
Nice. You want to live at a prison. What the heck? I Googled. Okay, I'm finding that apparently Sun and Moon is the first Pokemon game to have toilets.
Oh, where are they?
Just in houses, just the occasional house. There's they put toilets in there. But I don't want to live in Sun and Moon. I would. I'm still gonna go with Pokemon. Originally, I was looking into like Dr. Mario. I don't know where, you know, but there's like little diseases. They're getting rid of all the diseases in Dr. Mario. But then you mentioned toilets, and that got me thinking about Pokemon. And I would love to just live in that nice, peaceful little house that you start off in like Ruby and Sapphire. You know,
that does seem like a nice house with like a little kitchen.
Yeah,
your
and
mom's
I can go
there.
Out and catch a Pokemon. And but I'd be in the life, so I like, you know, you see pictures of them like snuggling their Pokemon, their soft little cuddly Pokemon. That sounds wonderful. I don't care if there's no toilets. I'll take Pokemon snuggles out of over pooping outside any day. Wait, and pooping outside over having a toilet. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm.
So you know how like there's so many problems in Pokemon that are solved with Pokemon?
Yes.
I wonder.
Oh,
if,
no, no.
I wonder if there's a bathroom solution here where it's like take a shower with your whale lord, and then you have like some like. You have some, like, grass Pokemon that handles, like, fertilizer and waste product and stuff, you know? Like, or would that be a poison Pokemon? It'd probably be Grimer. It would probably be Grimer that handles the waste disposal. I bet you the garbage trucks in Pokemon have a big Grimer on the side of them as, like, their logo. Or would it be... What's the best Pokemon to represent, like, a city's waste disposal?
Garbodor?
But that's trash. I'm thinking of like sewage waste.
Oh,
that's got to be Grimer, right?
Yeah, I'd say Grimer. But which one? The happy rainbow one, or just the purple?
Oh, the Alolan Grimer. Oh yeah, you go to the Alolan region, and they're like all their trash trucks are just like way happier.
Oh my goodness!
Isn't Alolan Grimer steel type?
I don't know. Is there a Pokemon that eats trash?
I mean, I would assume Garbodor, because he's made of trash.
He is trash. Oh, no, yeah, no, you're right.
Oh, excuse me, not Garbodor, Garbodor. I'm still upset about that. I'm still mad about that.
Chunky Kyle.
The official Pokemon Direct where they announced the Gigantamax Garbodor.
Garbodor.
The Nintendo spokesperson's like, catch your Garbodor. That makes me so
mad. Yeah, so he does eat trash. Awesome.
Cool. Good to know.
Wonderful.
There he goes. Pokemon, okay. The first house. I believe I've already told the story on the podcast about getting trapped in the first house in Red and Blue because I didn't realize the door was a door, right?
Yes. Yes, you did. Sorry, I was distracted by which Pokemon would be a toilet. And I Googled Pokemon toilet. And there's one that's shaped like Weepin' Bell. I don't...
Oh, no. That's bad. I don't want to think about this anymore.
Like he's like, like his mouth is the Weepin' Bell, and his eyes are like watching you while you sit down.
I'm leaving this question. We're moving on to the Discord questions. Our Discord question for the week says,
"Oh, Diglett. Diglett digs little poop holes for people. There you go, and you just go and squat down."
Okay. Well, I will bring along my. I bet Sandshrew could do a pretty good job at that too.
Can Rotom turn into a toilet? An electric toilet?
It'd have to be a smart toilet. In that case, isn't he like a trickster? I don't want a trickster Pokemon in my toilet.
Especially an electric one.
Especially an electric
sitting there all vulnerable and whatnot. Little zippy zappies. Anyways.
All right. Our question from Discord this week says, have you seen the Costume Quest show on Amazon? If you have not seen it, you should. It's very fun.
Ah, no. I forgot that was a thing. I heard it was good. Didn't Marion say it was good?
Yes, Marion did say it was good. We know personally the voice actress for one of the characters in that show.
That's
but,
so cool.
It is very cool. Remind me, did that show like complete its run, or did it get canceled early? Or is it finished? I never actually watched it.
You asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that show.
Patient Players Live Chat. I think they got through two seasons, but it got canceled according to Patient Players Chat.
Okay.
Cool. Well, ooh. Just so you know, that's out there, Costume Quest the show. So if you happen to pick up Costume Quest 1 for free because you have Xbox Games for Gold, and if you happen to pick up Costume Quest 2 for free on Epic Games this week, and you like the games, check out the Netflix series.
I found a picture of Ditto as toilet paper.
I don't like that. I'm gonna
and it says, in times of need, Ditto will be whatever his trainer needs.
I'm going to stop this podcast before you get any further down this horrible, horrible rabbit trail.
I love this conversation so much. This is your fault. You brought up Pokemon toilets, or you brought up toilets in video games.
Thank you for listening to the Patient Players Podcast, episode 55.
We will Patient see you Players next week. Podcast.
Oh no! Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.